God bless you. Hello, temples.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hello, temples.
Glory.
Amen. Ah, because you have just sang you are a temple and they greet you, you don't have some. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we praise the Lord for this morning and greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and happy to be once again back to his house. And we thank him for his mercy, for his provisions for the week. And he's always good. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for granting us another privilege to stand as brethren in your presence, O Lord. Your children have come, Heavenly Father, not to see a man, not to show themselves, not to see a great building, O Lord, but they have come to get closer to you, O Lord. Amen. We have come, O Lord, to get closer to the kingdom of God. At the end of the service, we want to say that we are much closer than we were when we came, O Lord. That's why we humble ourselves, O Lord. We submit, we yield ourselves unto your will, listening and expecting on you, O Lord, that you that has started this job in us will bring us to perfection, O Lord. When the devil sees it, or is just trying to show us our weaknesses and our shortcomings, that's why we come, O Lord. We don't come because we are perfect. We come because we know there's still some job, some work to be fulfilled in us, O Lord. And we know that you are the master architect and you will bring that job to perfection, O Lord. Bless us now as we commit the service into your hand. Bless the reading of the word. Bless the songs. Bless the worship. Bless everything that will be done. Bless the Sunday school upstairs, O Lord. Let it really be for some benefit to your children, O Lord. We commit everything into your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Remember our pastor where he is in England. Let him, when he will stand to speak, let the Holy Ghost meet the real need of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles in 1 Kings 19. We are still on our topic, the days of Elijah. So 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the swords. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and say, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So, we are still on our topic, the days of Elijah. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we started seeing, you know, the perversion of values in society as it was in the days of Elijah, where evil had become good and good had become evil. Ahab meeting Elijah, he asked Elijah, are you the one who is disturbing the country? Why? Because Elijah was preaching the truth. Preaching the truth became like something that is causing disturbance in the country. Telling the truth, Elijah was seen as a bigot, as they call it today. Elijah was seen as someone marginal. Why? Because he was telling the truth. But those that were practiced living in sin were seen as the fashion. So we were saying that we are living in the days of Elijah. And that's exactly what we see today. Amen. So we started seeing at how we came to this point of today in the modern society we are living in, telling people what they are doing is sin. What was sin few years ago, 50, 100 years ago as sin, is celebrated today. People that were seen as sinners, as deviant in society, are celebrated as heroes today. How did we come to, from people that preach the truth being honored in the society, to today being seen as criminals? We are showing that it was a very well-studied marketing process that these people carried out in the Western world. It didn't come just like that. They saw that if we want to change things in this country, in this world, we need to change people's perception of evil and wrong. Evil and good, we need to change people's perception. Because if people are still in a position where they see what we are doing as evil, we will never prosper. So instead of right attacking, starting a campaign to tell them that what we do is good, no, we need to change first their feelings towards what we are doing. We saw that it started, the main obstacle was the Judeo-Christian foundation on which the West was built. The US, Europe, they are called, up to today, they are called Christian countries, though they don't want to be called anymore like that. But these countries were built on the foundations of the Word of God. And the perception in society, anything that go against the Word of God, even our laws, our constitution, our criminal law, it is drawn from the Bible. Everything you see there, it was the, you know, a replica of what was in the Bible. But they said, no, we need to remove the influence of God in our countries. We need to influence to remove the influence of the Bible. And to do so, we can't just come one day and tell people the Bible is wrong and this and that. No. We need to go in a scientific manner. Remember, we saw in previous studies how the revolution started with the Enlightenment, where they started small, removing the influence of the Bible, of God. And the more scientific revolutions went on, the more people shifted their trust from God into science. People shifted their trust from God into technology. And based on that, they said, this is a good ground to start to change people's perception. We saw last time that they founded big universities to come up with studies that will show that the current perception of sin in society is in contradiction with what people live on their everyday life. So they financed this man here. I hope this works. Alfred Kinsey, we saw it, is called the father of the sexual liberation. So founded by the big names like the Rockefeller, like the Carnegie, like the big American billionaires, they founded this man to go and come up with what is his so-called studies of human sexuality. And even before he went to do his studies, his vision of the world was to remove a Christian influence in America and eliminate sexual repressive legacy of Judeo-Christianity. So that was his beliefs. When he went to do his so-called studies, this is what he believed. So what can you expect as a conclusion to such a man? He came up with these two books, one in 1948, one in 1953. The first one was about men. The second one was about female. And these are the books that changed the world to what we are seeing today. And it was acclaimed, it was, you know, accepted by the scientific world as, you know, true scientific research that came up with conclusion that our laws in America at that time, the laws, you know, our criminal system is against what people live in their everyday life. So this man came up with a conclusion that if they apply the American law as it was written that time, 95% of men will go to jail because the law doesn't reflect what is happening in society. Everything we call criminal, sex, children molestation, homosexual, he came up with conclusion that that's what people do in their everyday life. That's what's happening in the bedrooms. People are just hypocrites. They don't want to tell it. People live in pedophilia. The children enjoy, you know, sexual contact. He came up with very, very bad things. And one of his conclusions was that pedophiles are misunderstood. The punishment is too severe and unjust. So for him, 95% of men in America are pedophiles. And we shouldn't be punishing pedophiles. They are just expressing what, you know, everybody does. But they are just unfortunate that they are caught. The other 95% are not caught. No. So this was his conclusions. Fornication, adultery, sodomy, bestiality, and child sex abuse are normal, harmless, private sexual acts. Children are erotic from birth and harmed by sex with adults. They are harmed by sexual repression. For him, child, you know, pedophilia, children enjoy pedophilia, but the aspect of pedophilia which is not good is the parents' reaction. When the policeman or the parents come and when they are distressed because their child had such a relation, the child now gets panicked. But the act in itself was not wrong. That's his finding. He came up with another conclusion that sex crime legislation is completely out of touch. It is unenforceable. The law attempts to forbid an activity which responds to a wide human need. That was his conclusion. And I tell you, go and do your research. Everything we do today, these children, I don't know, education in our school, they want relations, whatever, they want to teach our children, it came out of these conclusions. This is the base on which these things were you know, built. And I won't go, I think in 2018, I did an extended, you know, study on this, if you can remember, it is still maybe on our website. These books influenced the change of law in many of the 50 American U.S. States. Because based on this, they say we need to revise our laws. We are too severe. We are punishing people. They went and people that were meant to spend their lifetime in jail, because many states in the U.S. before this book, child molestation, you have to spend your rest of your life in jail. But they started now easing the law. No. They just need to pay a small fine because it's normal behavior. It started changing everything. I won't go in that today. But I'll just pick two main movements that came out of this book, after these publications. Remember, the purpose was to change human society perception, especially around sexuality, especially around, you know, men and women relationship. That was their aim, because they say America is so Puritan, it comes from a Christianity, and so we need to break those foundations and let people know that everything that they are afraid to do is normal behavior. Based on scientific evidence, they could now go and start now transforming society. It came out of this publication, two big movements. I'm going to speak about one today. There's many, but I'm just going to address two. One today, this man here, Hugh Hefner, he came up with this magazine, Go and Do Yourself. Today, with internet, you know, these are the pioneers of the porn industry that we are seeing on internet today. These are the people that broke the boundaries. If today people can go and, you know, pornography is accessible on their mobile phone, these are the people that laid the foundation. Because those days, they were not internet, and he came up with this, you know, wonderful, according to him, idea with this magazine, Playboy. They call him the man who took sex out of the bedroom. Just imagine. He started publishing his book. The first edition was in 1953, just after Kinsey published the female edition of his version of his book. Because there was in 1948, he published the male edition, and it inspired this man. Say, okay, so since everybody does in secret what is condemned in public, why not bring it in the public, in public view? So he came up with this magazine, Playboy. You know, for the studies here, I got myself one copy of this magazine. I wouldn't advise you to watch it. Honestly, I wouldn't advise you. I had to, because I wanted to know what it was about. I wouldn't advise anyone to go and watch it. Just imagine in the 1950s America, someone comes up with such magazine, which brings the bedroom in the public realm. It was full perversion, I'm telling you. Full perversion. He wanted to show that it's normal. Every age, elderly women, young babies, in that it's filled in that magazine. Just to show people that it's normal. People shouldn't be afraid of nudity. It's something that happened behind closed doors, but people are, let's not pretend to be holy when we are hypocrites, doing in secret what we condemn in public. So they call him the man who took sex out of the bedroom. You know, out of his magazines, there was no picture I could take and come show you here. Nothing. Nothing. You know. So that was the society he wanted. Because they wanted to break those boundaries where people condemn nudity, you know, intercourse. And no, they wanted it to become normalized. Seen as normal. People can now, those magazines, it was sold, it came a time where because it was once a month, every edition was sold, you know, more than 7 million copies. More than 7 million copies every month. So it was inundating America with pornography, public pornography. And people became so addicted. He's a billionaire. You know, he died in 2017 here. He's a billionaire. And, you know, there's so many things that he did behind his magazines. You know, we have no time to speak about it. But the objective was to normalize evil. People should see it because science says that it's normal. Why should we now hide it? You know, they call him, he embodied the contradiction of the sexual revolution. They say Kinsey was the researcher and Hefner was the pamphleteer. So Kinsey did his scientific research and his publications and his conclusions. Him now came to say, since we know this, so why should we now pretend to be holies? Let's do that. And it became so normalized. What else they say? You know, this is one of the softest I could pick from his book. You see, even the publication, this is, we know it's a so-called the Mona Lisa, you know. But see what she's holding on in her hand, drugs. You know, so that was things they were putting, you know, in the public realm. Drugs is normal, sex is normal, pedophilia, children molestation, homosexuality, everything, you know, in his publication, there was a section for to show to the public that, you know, sexual interaction with children is not bad. You know, he'll come up with things. It was mostly cartoons. There was no much writing. It was mostly because they say an image speaks more than 10,000 words. It was mostly cartoons where he'll show this, he'll show that. It was comics. Depicting according, you know, when you see the image, you understand what they want to say. Infidelity. You just normalizing infidelity. Because the Kinsey studies, one of the conclusions was saying that married women in America, 45% of married women in America have secret affairs. So when he brings that into the public realm, people say, okay, other married women will say, oh, so I'm trying to be, you know, to live, be faithful to my husband. But 45% of other women in America do that, so I can do it too. You get the perception. And in his publication, he would bring, you know, comics promoting infidelity of men, of women, promoting pedophilia, a father encouraging his daughter to, you know, underage daughter to go with an old man, things like that. And it was published by millions in America. He said he challenged social conventions about men, women, and sex and nudity. That was it exactly. Playboy magazine was, you know, it revolutionized society. And it was, you know, he came up even with TV shows because he became so rich that he could buy himself everything he wanted to promote his business. He came up with TV shows. He was always surrounded by young women like this. In it, most of his pictures, young girls, Most of his pictures, he was an emperor of the kingdom. Most of his pictures, and he was always in pajamas. There was a message behind that. He dressed always in pajamas. Most of his pictures, you see, and he said he hates other clothes. He likes pajamas. You know, you understand what he meant. So that was him. They say in 1953, when Playboy first launched, society in America was very sterile, Puritan, and sexually repressed. That's what they say. No one felt this more keenly than women, who were allowed to only represent two roles, chaste virgins and caring mothers. That's what the Bible teaches. That against this vision that they rose up, they say, no, we need to break this. Why women need to be seen only as mothers and, virgins? So from a young girl, she becomes a mother. She can't enjoy life. So Playboy, what they did, Playboy represented a break from this ideology and fiercely challenged the era of sexual restriction. It encouraged women to break out of these limited roles and told them to aspire to become sexual objects. Isn't it what we have today? Amen. The exact, these were the pioneers of what we have today. They sowed the seed. And with the evolution of technology, internet just came to, amplify, to bring to a better realm what these people started. There are many of them, but him was, like in every age, you have the messenger. You know, in the spiritual, these people were kind of the devil's instrument that he used. The Kinsey, the him, and another guy we'll see next time. These are the people that really broke the boundaries. They say we need to remove the foundations. And remember, while this was happening, this is one of his, one of the cartoons, one of the comics. These are the things he was promoting. You know, a small child, if an old man, and the picture says himself what happened, or what is about to happen. You don't need to tell, no, it was self-explanatory. He says, Playboys contain comics and images that sexualize children. 8 images of comics per magazine. It will seem as though Playboy was trying to condition its reader into seeing child rape and exploitation as a regular part of male sexual life. That's what it was. So don't be shocked by what we see today. It was a job that was prepared for years. And in the meantime, while this was happening, because these people were attacking on many different fronts, on a different front, they were attacking now of removing the Bible from the schools. Remember what Pastor preached a few months ago, the revival of the gods. How in America, it was exactly around this time, in the 1950s, 60s, they started now attacking. Why should we pray before in schools? Why should we have the Bible in our judicial courts? Why should we? They started now taking laws, voting laws to remove the Bible from public influence. Let's remove the Ten Commandments. They started, on one hand, they were promoting these things. On the other hand, they were removing the influence of God, trying to remove God from the public area. Trying to remove God from people's houses. Holding a Bible became slowly it started to become a crime. Every state started taking laws to remove the influence of the Bible. It was not something that was happening randomly. It was not an accident. It was a well-studied strategy. On one hand, they promote these things. On the other hand, they promote, the exclusion of God in society. And on the other end, remember, it was around this time that the prophet preached the invasion of the United States. It was around this time that the prophet started preaching that this nation has rejected the word. Amen. Spiritually, people were getting into some kind of coldness. While the devil was having his revival, the Christians started having, you know, the revival was dimming. That's why the prophet says, sorry, just give me 2 more minutes. This was 1953. When just this man published his second book about female sexuality. The prophet said, America is one of the most polluted shapes that I've ever seen in my life. If there's any place in the world that this world needs missionary, is the United States of America. That's 53. An educated, no wonder condemnation, no wonder judgment hangs over this nation. It is because they are called by the name of a Christian nation and reject the very principle of Christianity. That 1953. When these people were promoting their business, America, the Christian world, was rejecting God. So the ground was being prepared. In the 1990s and the 2000s, the years we are living now, this is just the manifestation of what was being sown in the 1950s, in the 1960s. This is just, you know, the fruit of what was being sown on that time. The devil was working on one side to promote nudity, to promote pornography, to promote, it's not something that happened by accident today that we can see people have normalized it. They can watch it. They are now even pushing it on our children. Because this is something that scientifically they say it's normal. It's correct. We should do it. Why are you preventing your children from something that science tells us it is good? Like eating, like drinking, like this and that. So these things also need to be pushed on children. Amen. So it was something that was scientifically studied. And what we are seeing today, good being called evil, evil being called good, is just a manifestation of what was very well studied and promoted in society. Amen. So that was it for today. Next time we're going to see the other person who took from Mr. Kinsey's book to promote another idea of gay agenda. All these things came out of that book. Amen. That man, that other man, even in his publication, he said, I didn't know there was such a book. It was his Bible. He said, I took Mr. Kinsey's book and started a tour of America, state after state, to show to people that what we are doing is not wrong. And all the homosexuals who are living, you know, in hiding, in secret, they started now coming up. And that man started the gay revolution. Amen. We'll see it next time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We are talking about these things not to scare your people or not to show just a show of knowledge, but it's to enlighten us, to prepare us, to know that we are living in a very hostile ground. We are living in a very hostile world, and when the devil takes position, point his weapons towards us, we need to make preparations to respond, O Lord. And knowing who we are fighting against will help us, because the prophet says we need to know our enemy. Help your people now. As we have heard these things, let us be equipped to better face the challenge before us, O Lord. Bless now the remainder of the service. Take us through every part of the worship. Let your glory shine upon us. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.